The message today is entitled, Praising the Three in One. And I chose this today on purpose, intentional, because when Pastor Jim gave me the opportunity to preach today, several weeks back, I looked at today, saw that it was March 17th, St. Patrick's Day. I said, I know exactly what I'm preaching today, the Trinity. As many of you know, that St. Patrick was known for the evangelization of his country, Ireland, and he was able and capable of introducing to the people this mystery of God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit by simply just reaching down into the grass and plucking a shamrock or a three-leaf clover and teaching the Trinity of how God is one God in three persons, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So whenever you see those in the grass, just praise your triune almighty God that loves us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we're going to do that today. 2 Corinthians 13:14, a blessed piece of scripture that has been used through the centuries as a benediction throughout the church age. So we'll cover that today, praising the three in one. But before that, let's take our prayer list and just spend a moment. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you truly love us and shown your love to us through your Son Jesus, his shed blood for us. You gave us your Holy Spirit, who will be with us to the end of the age, to empower us and to strengthen us, to guide us, to correct us, to do things within us that is beyond human capabilities. So we're thankful for your gift of you in three persons. And in this message today, Father, help us to just do the best we can to wrap our hearts and our mind around this great mystery of who you are. We thank you that we are capable and able to intercede and pray for others as we think about this world today. So much out there that takes our attention because we are in trouble, we hurt, we are in a state of anxious, if not panic. Father, the storms, the raging rivers, the water from the melting snow that is appearing in our homes and sinking through our roofs and appearing in our basements. Father, we need your help. Father, we need the warmth of this week to help dry that up. And if we can be of help to one another, just burden our hearts for each other that we may show your love to those that are desperately seeking help, who are overwhelmed, who may be hurting. We pray for those, Father, on our prayer list that are ill, that have lost loved ones, the Hans Johnson family. We pray that you would be with Ernie and his soul that has come to your kingdom. Father, for his family, for those that mourn, for those that are still healing, the healing that comes seemingly slower than it should be. We pray, Father, that your touch, that your peace, that your plan for this will be revealed and will be evident in their life in a powerful way, unlike before. Father, for this hour together, for this week ahead, may we truly and honestly seek you in this Lenten season, that we, as John declared, that you would increase and that we would decrease, and that the love that we have for our neighbor will come to a new level. So, Father, help us and guide us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Praising the three in one. This is a very, very deep mystery. I believe if St. Patrick can pick a three-leaf clover out of the ground and teach it, we can try to wrap our minds around it today, because this passage that's in 2 Corinthians, probably other than John 3:16, which we all know, that God so loved the world, and even the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, those have been repeated in said throughout the ages, but this particular letter, this is the second letter Paul wrote to the Corinthians. He concludes it with this blessing. Many priests, many pastors have stood at their congregations and blessed them with these words of just simply saying to them, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you forever and for always. Those words are very powerful. In fact, other than John 3:16 and the 23rd Psalm, some scholars believe that this is probably the most quoted words in all of the New Testament, because here we see God as Father and Son and Holy Spirit clearly mentioned as one, as together. This blessing, think of that as your marching orders, as your charge, your authorization for you to go empowered out into the world to proclaim the love of God in three persons. The love that God has as Father is the unconditional love. That is the agape love. Then there is the sacrificial love of Jesus the Son. And those two together, because of the gift of the Holy Spirit, is given to us, empowering us, letting us in these fallible, sinful human bodies to be able to take this amazing, powerful love of God and show it and live it out into the world so that they too can be capable of understanding this God who loves them, that salvation is truly possible if they will confess their sins and ask Christ Jesus to forgive them and to be their Savior. So that's what we're tackling today, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and Holy Spirit. Probably this holy union is the greatest mystery that has been the very root of the church's living faith since Jesus ascended into heaven. Here we are, the Trinity. We know it. We were baptized into that faith. When we were baptized, we received the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We proclaim the Trinity in our sacrament of Holy Communion. We state it in our creeds. If you're familiar with the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, we say we believe in God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. In fact, even our denomination, this church, the Free Methodist Church, says this in our Articles of Religion on the Trinity, says this: there is but one living and true God, the maker and preserver of all things. And in the unity of this Godhead, there are three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. These three are one in eternity, deity, and purpose, everlasting of infinite power, wisdom, and goodness. That's a lot to grasp, isn't it? So it's as simplistic, as simple as we can put it. God is revealing himself. He's not hiding. He's not way up there in heaven somewhere all by himself just waiting where we're down here segregated and separated. No, he is here presenting himself. He wants you to know him. He wants to be seen. He wants to be found. He wants to be searched for because he is here. He is saying, I am revealing myself to you, yes, as one God, but in three distinct persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're distinct and inseparable, but they are a perfect example of God's love for us in his nature. So what we're going to do today, instead of trying to turn this into a seminary 3-credit-hour theology class, we're just going to take it simple. And through even, if, like I said, if St. Patrick can teach this through a clover, I think we can grasp this in about 15, 20 minutes. We'll try. So we're going to praise God. I like what your bulletin says. Now, I didn't plan this. In fact, I don't even bother even looking in the box to see what the bulletin's going to be for this week. This is something I want you to keep. especially this praise on the back. Sometimes there are things we just can't fully grasp. And the best thing we can do is just simply praise God. Be grateful for what he has done for us. And because of all his love, just praise him. Thank him for all that he has done for us. So we praise God for each and every one of these three ways that God is revealing himself to us and to the world. The reason we choose to praise God for his revelation, I think, is just simply because what St. Augustine said about it. He said, it's not because we can say something adequate about it, but rather because in the absence of adequate speech, we must say something. And that something is gratefulness, thankfulness, through the resounding praise, words of thanksgiving for all that he has done. Because I'll be honest with you, sometimes in the absence of full understanding and in the inability to truly fathom the mystery of God, the only thing there is to do is just to say thank you, that you would be willing, God, to show yourself to me in these three distinct ways. So what does this all look like? What does all this mean? Well, let's first break it down, starting with the Father. Of course, the Father, we're going to praise him because he's not only agape love, unconditional love, a loving Father, but he is the true, holy, and living God that is above all other gods. Doesn't matter which religion we're talking about. We have the one, the God, as it says in Psalm 96, verses 4 to 5. It just says, great is the Lord, he is worthy of our praise. He is to be feared above all other gods. The gods of the other nations, they're just mere idols. So that's why we praise him. We praise him because he is our creator, our king, our Lord, our judge, our redeemer, our shepherd. He is the preserver of all things. And we praise him because of his unconditional love for us. It's his power, his wisdom, his justice. All of this displayed throughout his creation. All creation sings his praises because they know who their creator is. And most of all, the one that I like best, we praise him because he is the great reconciler. I love that word. He has reconciled us back to himself through his love, through his grace, through the shed blood of his son Jesus. He did all of that just so that we could come back into a proper relationship with him that is loving, personal, intimate, and that we could live at peace with Almighty God. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, God demonstrated his love for us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19, for God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting the sins of the people against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So it's all of these things that he would reveal himself, show himself, make himself available, and make a relationship with him possible. That's just a few things. That's just a couple of things in which we can praise him as God the Father. Now, God is the Son. God is Jesus Christ. And we can praise God for his willingness to send his Son to come down here to put on flesh. He is God in the flesh. To walk around on this world, to know exactly what it feels like to be a human. Because God is in the flesh. He joined together not only his deity, but he also took humanity and put them together. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He became truly, not only the truly our God, but truly human. Why did he do such a thing? To save us. He wanted a relationship with us, so he made it possible. He saved us because through obedience, as God the Son, he lived as a servant, to suffer, to die upon the cross, to become our Savior. He truly poured out his life as a blameless sacrifice, all because of our sins, our transgressions. So that's why we praise him and we are grateful that he made forgiveness, reconciliation, and eternal life all possible because he laid down his life in obedience to the Father's will. And we can praise him for that. We can praise him for this upcoming Lenten season that concludes with Easter because we celebrate his victory over death, sin, the grave. And we can praise him because he's not finished, is he? He's coming back. Just like he promised, he will return as the Prince of Peace. Just like he promised. John 14, verses 2 through 3, Jesus said himself, "There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare this place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and I'll get you so that you will always be with me where I am." So that's why we praise God as the Son, Jesus Christ. He has offered us the ability to be born again, to be born anew, and to have a proper relationship with the Father. And then last but not least, the third person of the Trinity. We can praise God as the Holy Spirit, because as the Holy Spirit, we have been promised that he would be with us even till the end of the age. His presence will never, ever leave us. He is the one that helped you come to know Jesus as Savior. The Holy Spirit is the one that draws you and urges you to accept Jesus. He is the one that reveals Scripture to you so that you can become a Christian, so that you can grow as a Christian, so that you can become a faithful and fruitful witness. As Jesus even said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, all the way to the ends of the world, you can spread the gospel and the good news. The Holy Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit is our advocate, our guide. He is our prayer warrior. He is our conscience, and he is our convictor when we go astray. I like that what, again, our denomination says about the Holy Spirit. This is the Free Methodist Church's doctrine on the Spirit. In our Book of Discipline, it says this: the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, proceeding from the Father and of the Son. He is one with them, the eternal Godhead. He is equal in deity, majesty, and power. He is God, effective in creation, in life, and in the church. The incarnation and the ministry of Jesus Christ were accomplished by the Holy Spirit. He continues to reveal, interpret, and glorify the Son. The Holy Spirit is a wonderful, wonderful gift to us. In fact, he was gifted to us at Pentecost. If you remember when God, the Holy Spirit, came and formed the church, Acts chapter 2, verse 4, the Holy Spirit came and filled the believers and was upon them like tongues of fire. This was to give them and you, us as the church today, life and that witnessing power that we need to achieve not only the common good of this world, but to build up the church, to spread the good news, the gospel, and to glorify God the Father. So we praise God. We praise him as the Holy Spirit because he is, as the Bible says, our koinonia, because he lavishes, he freely gives us power and authority and the gift of fellowship upon the church body. That is us, all believers. Koinonia. It's a word that is interpreted participation because we're participating. We're agreeing and coming along with the Holy Spirit in order to take the power of the Spirit and to accomplish the goals, the intent of God's saving grace upon this world. To think that we are entrusted with helping God build his kingdom. Yes, he could miracle it and do it all himself, but to think that his love for us is that intense that he would want to include you in helping him build his kingdom. I think that's very powerful. That's why koinonia is fellowship. We're participating with the Holy Spirit, joining together with God as Spirit to help God accomplish the redemptive plan of his people. The Holy Spirit working through us. To think that you are a key instrument in helping God to complete his mission of saving this world. The Holy Spirit is our advocate. He is our guide and our helper. The one thing I think you're most familiar with is how he helps you in your prayer life. Romans chapter 8 is very powerful. Romans 8, 26 and 27 says this, that in the same way, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness because we do not know what we ought to pray for. But in the Holy Spirit, the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groaning. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit is who intercedes for God's people in accordance to the will of God. So even when we don't even know what to say, the Holy Spirit helps us and finds the words we need and intercedes with us for the Father. I think that's why we can join in with the psalmist who said, O Lord, how majestic is thy name in all the earth. Because of all the thing, just think of the power and the authority, the strength and the guidance that is hand-delivered, specially packaged just for you. It's tailor-made for your gifts, for your abilities, for who you are at this particular point in history, because of the Spirit's power helping you join forces with God in redeeming this lost world. I think that's why we can praise God as the Holy Spirit. So as we work on this great, deep mystery of God, I think we can always, as the back of this bulletin so pointedly says, praising the Lord, praising God always for his revelation to us as Father and as Son and as Holy Spirit. The Trinity, our triune God. One God, three persons. That's why I like the words very simple. Through the Anglican Catechism, they said this: first, I learn to believe in God, the Father, who has made me and all the world. Then secondly, in God, the Son, who redeems me and all of humanity. And then thirdly, in God, the Holy Ghost, who sanctifies me and all the people of God. So therefore, by faith, we can humbly accept this biblical truth. Because as Jesus told us, sometimes these things are a little beyond our full comprehension, aren't they? Sometimes we just have to take it as Jesus asked us to back in Matthew, where he said that sometimes you just got to take it like a little child. Because little children will believe you, won't they? Matthew 18, verse 2, we'll tell a child anything. We could tell the child, moon's made out of cheese. You ever done that? And then you could tell them and they'll just believe you, won't they? That's kind of the faith that Jesus is telling us. Unless you become a little child and just say, look, this is what I'm saying, believe it. By faith, God is Father, God is Son, and God is the Holy Spirit. Therefore, by faith, we humbly accept this biblical truth. We use it to grow in our knowledge of who God is, why he has called us, why he wants to redeem us. Because as John 16, 13 assures us, the Holy Spirit will help you. He will come. He will be our guide. He will teach us and lead us into a deeper understanding of what all this means to us. The wonderful truth about God, who is a loving Father, a reconciling Savior as the Son, and an empowering force within us as the Holy Spirit. So may we truly this week and always praise our God, the Trinity, three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we give you praise for your wonderful mystery. Although our human minds can't fully comprehend everything, by faith we just accept it. It is true. You are our Father with unconditional love for us. You are our Savior through the Son, Jesus Christ, our sacrificial love, our Savior, empowered by your Holy Spirit that is with us through the end of the age to be a reckoning, powerful force that can truly storm the gates of hell and defeat all that is evil, because we contain the power which even raised Jesus from the dead, that gives us the ability to use our gifts and our abilities, our talents, our personality, everything that you put into us to your glory. Help us, Father, to praise you as the three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. For it is truly in Jesus' name, the Son, we pray. Amen.